Well, such an exciting time of year. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're looking at. And it was another exciting weekend in college football, another exciting weekend in the NFL, although it was a bit of a chore to watch a Lions game today. I'm not going to lie. I'll get Bill's thoughts on that later. But most importantly, an exciting night for a lot of student athletes in high school that. Well, a lot of them knew that their career was going to continue. Some of them weren't so sure that their career was going to continue. And, you know, maybe there's some tears being shed in some places right now when the realization that their career is now over. And in other places, it's new life. And Bill Keenest, I know one place where there's some new life. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm great, Sean. And you are absolutely right. And we're talking about the Holly Broncos. So, what a joy to be a part of that. I was walking out of the high school with some of the players a few minutes ago, and one of them turned to another and said, "You mean we've never won a playoff game in school history?" And the other one said, "Yeah, we've never won." So it's just the what high school sports, what the high school experience does for so many kids. I mean, think about the ability to create a memory that never happened before, that never occurred before, and to have a chance to accomplish that. You were right about what a lot of high school kids went through on Friday night. It's a different playoff system now, and it really creates a, in many opinions, a more equitable approach. The teams that are good enough to be in the playoffs, that deserve to be in the playoffs, with a point system that rewards not only their wins but who they play. And it's different than it was in the past. I mean, there have been articles written about teams that would, you know, strategically stack their schedule with games against teams that were not in the same, you know, competitive stratosphere as them to get those wins, because it used to be six and you're in. But now it's more of what is deserving. And I mean, I think Orchard Lake St. Mary made it, and they only have 3 wins. But they're, you know, by all accounts, a really good football team. But Friday night, Holly lost to an excellent Brandon football team, and it was a close game. It went down to the last minute, and the kids, there were a lot of tears shed, but there was still the unknown, because everyone with the program felt we had a good shot at getting in, because we beat some teams that had great records and also were a division above us. So all that factored in. And when it was announced on Bally that the Holly Broncos were in, I'm getting chills telling you, because the room just erupted.
Oh.
And so good for the kids. I mean, they've watched the, you know, the March Madness selection show so many times, and they probably all watched the high school selection show. But to be a part of that, and just the joy, is why we love high school sports in general, and certainly football in particular.
Well, you know, Bill, it's interesting, because you are so right. I mean, there are a few teams. I'll use Brother Rice as an example. You know, another team that they went 3-5, but I think a lot of people looked at their body of work and said,
right,
you know, this is a team that deserves to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know, for Holly, I mean, let's keep it there. An opportunity to have a rematch against a really good team from Fenton.
A really good team, and a rivalry, as I've learned this year. It's going to be emotional, but the reality is, both teams are 0-0 right now. That's not a, you know, cute thing to say. That's a reality. That's a fact. And when you're dealing with high school aged athletes and the emotion of it all. It's unpredictable. And I might have misspoken earlier, Sean. Maybe it was Brother Rice that I was referring to that was 3-5. But yeah, that's the beauty of Friday nights and Saturday afternoons, I guess, because there'll be some games played on Saturday. But you never know. And there have been teams. I was talking to my son before the show started with the team, and I as you probably aren't surprised, I brought up Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks from a few years ago when they were 7-8-1, and they made the playoffs, and they played. Got to pull over for a ambulance here, and they made the playoffs at 7-8-1, and played New Orleans in the playoff game, and New Orleans won. I want to say 10, 11, maybe. I don't know how many games. They were a wild card. And that was the game in which Seattle won. They won the game. Marshawn Lynch had that run that registered on the Richter scale.
The Richter scale.
Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. That was
beast mode.
Yeah, beast mode. So anything can happen. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why we love it. And, that's why it's going to be a great week for all those kids and coaches and all of us that love the football program at Holly and are a part of it.
Well, I'm a fan from afar. You know that. I really am.
I do.
I'll be rooting for the Broncos. No disrespect to Fenton. But, Bill, you're right. Yeah. Both St. Mary's and Brother Rice got in at 3-5.
Okay.
And you're this is going to, we're a little excited around here. Unfortunately, my alma mater and a guy I've known for a long time, Coach Randy McAuliffe and Lavonia Stevenson, couldn't get in. But
yeah.
Northville is back in the playoffs and they are hosting a game.
Wow.
Which I think everybody is excited about. My daughter's already going, oh, cool. One more home game in my high school career.
Yeah.
That they're That's hosting their next door neighbor, Novi. So that'll be fun time.
Yeah.
Build new life for everybody, and it's what you make of that new life. I remember you saying this last year when we started the show, the finality of taking off that jersey and everything.
Yes.
These guys are going to get a chance to experience it at least one more time.
No question, and there's no one that had the great experience in high school sports, no matter what the sport, that wouldn't give a lot to do that one more time. And I'm getting all kind of chills because you think about that and the kids and how much they love it and they love their teammates. And like I said, this past Friday, even though I know the coaches were optimistic about a possible playoff berth, not sure what the players, they were playing to win, obviously, that game against Brandon. And just seeing the tears and the emotion and absolutely the love that these kids have for each other is priceless. I mean, it's, I've often said high school athletics are the greatest classroom a kid can ever experience. And I believe that more than ever because you learn so many life lessons, the ups, the downs, the struggles, and it's a unifier for communities. And you're certainly going to see that Friday night. And it's just, it's wonderful. And if we can get blessed with some similar weather to what we had this weekend, oh my goodness, will that be wonderful.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Well, listen, we're up against a break. I'd love to hear what that experience was like for you to not only watch the young players have that excitement, but it had to be pretty cool for you as well, Dad, having that opportunity.
No doubt.
With your son. So we'll touch on that. Obviously, take a look around the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is having himself a day. We'll get to that. The Lions as well. Don't you go anywhere. It's Gridiron Wrap on a Sunday night here on 760 WJR. All right, welcome back in. Glad you can join us here, Gridiron Wrap, on a Sunday night. Bill, before we went to the break, I mentioned Patrick Mahomes was having himself a day. Still 4 minutes to go in this game. They actually put in Chad Henne, but 25 of 34, 423 yards and three touchdowns. Speaking of 400 yards, Joe Burrow today, 34 of 42 for 481 yards and three touchdowns. And by the way, in case people have not heard this yet, his fifth 400-yard game in 3 years, breaking a record that was held by Dan Marino. Anybody who tries to tell me today, Bill, that the NFL isn't a quarterback-friendly passing league clearly isn't paying attention. I mean, just some crazy numbers out there today.
No question. And Mahomes doing it against one of the best defenses in the league.
Yep.
I mean, it's just what there's so much unique and generational, I think it's safe to say, talent in our game at this time. It's just remarkable. I mean, you talk about Joe Burrow, holy mackerel. And there's just so many others, so many others.
You know, Bill, one thing that I remember when I was a kid, you were a young man as well, when Dan Marino had that magical season in 1984, for people out there that aren't aware of this, he threw for 48 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that was a record that stood forever. I mean, it really did. It stood for 20 years. That was one of those, I don't know, Bill, I was like, we're never going to see that again. I mean,
no.
20 years, and obviously the league has changed. The league has changed.
Right.
But that has been eclipsed multiple times now as some of those gaudy numbers like Joe Burrow eclipsed today go along the wayside. It doesn't take away from the fact that Dan Marino is one of the best to ever play the game, but, boy, right. It does show you how this game has changed.
It really has. And I, when you mentioned Marino, I'm going to share a personal story regarding Dan. I had a sports writing internship between my junior and senior year at Ohio University. And one of my assignments, there used to be this class, and they may still have it, but it was the premier high school football all-star game in the country. It was the Big 33 game, and it was between Ohio and Pennsylvania. And it really was between Ohio and Western Pennsylvania, because that's where that was such a hotbed of recruits, and especially quarterbacks. You know, Unitas, Marino, Montana, Joe Namath, so many more to add to that list. So I had the assignment of covering this game, which was Dan Marino's final college game. And I'm sitting in the press box, or I think it was a makeshift press box, and two seats down to the right of me was Jackie Sherrill, the head coach at Pitt, where Marino was going. And the PA team, the team that Marino's quarterbacking, gets the ball first. And he goes back and unleashes a 70, my recollection, this is what I wrote, a 70-yard incompletion. And the lead of my story was basically never in the annals of high school, college, or perhaps even pro football has a 70-yard incompletion put such a smile on the head coach of that quarterback. Because I looked at Marino, and everybody was turning around saying, Jackie, did you see that? Did you see that? And I've never forgotten it. So it was just one of those things you can't forget, because even at that age, he had remarkable arm talent. And, that 84 season was magical. And you made the best point, because the rules were so different back then.
Yep.
They weren't even close to what they are now. It was much more difficult to put up those numbers as a quarterback, as an offense, back in the 80s and into the 90s before they relaxed the rules and made it more quarterback and offensive friendly.
You know, it's interesting. I had to look this up for full disclosure. This was not off the top of the head. But to try to put into perspective how dominant and how out of place that 1984 season was, It wasn't just the 48 touchdowns. It was the over 5,000 yards passing as well.
Right.
Bill,
right.
Bill Peyton Manning broke it in 2004. Yeah. The closest guy to Dan Marino was Dan Marino. He threw for 44 in 86.
Yeah.
The other closest person not named Dan Marino was Kurt Warner, who threw for 41 in 1999. Yeah. Still seven shy. Wow. I mean, think about that. That's how crazy that number was. I mean, I'm just looking at that in comparison with other seasons. And I mean, it was that out of place. That's how absolutely amazing it was. And, you know, like so many other things, I mean, the passing numbers are going to go the way of the dodo bird. I mean, obviously, we saw Matthew go over 5,000 the same year that Drew Brees did. And Manning had 5,477 one year. But to have over 5,000 yards and 48 touchdown passes in 1984, that was otherworldly. It really was.
It was. It really was, Sean. And I remember a game early in that year when the Dolphins went into RFK, old RFK, against the Redskins, Washington Commanders now. And Washington had been in the Super Bowl the year before. They lost two games by 1 point each until the Raiders pounded them in the Super Bowl. So Washington was a really good team. And Marino had an epic day, tore the secondary apart. The, I forget the nickname of the Dolphins receivers that they had, but just tore them apart, threw four or five touchdown passes. And that's the game I remember is like, wow, this guy is special. And he certainly was. He proved to be incredibly special.
Yeah, there was Mark Clayton
yes,
and Super Duper, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were not to be confused, of course, with the Fun Bunch. All had nicknames back then, didn't they?
Yeah, there were a lot of good nicknames back then. Yeah, for sure.
No doubt about it. So, another huge night by Patrick Mahomes, and Cincinnati suddenly gets it going. I'll let you know what else is going on in the NFL, as we are apt to do on this show. It looks like the Seahawks are going to win again. They just got another Kenneth Walker touchdown. Kenneth Walker today, Bill, 23 carries, 168 yards, and two touchdowns against the Chargers. So he is lighting it up. They are up now 36-16, PAT pending. Chiefs on top of the Niners, 44-23. Another late game. The Jets just finished off the Broncos. Boy, the Broncos' woes continue. Jets are now, Bill, 5-2, 4-0 on the road. And I know we touched about this last week. To the people out there that are big Robert Saleh fans, and he's got, you know, such a reputation not only around here but pretty much everywhere. Boy, he's showing how much he means right now to the New York Jets. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Jets knock off the Broncos. Elsewhere, the Raiders knock off the Texans 38-20. So just to let you know, Steelers-Dolphins tonight, that is an 8:20 game. And then tomorrow night, we've got the Bears and the Patriots for the Monday night game. Another Halloween edition of Monday Night Football. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. When Halloween fell on a Monday night, I got done with my trick-or-treating, Bill, and I was able to come back and watch Monday Night Football. Even though it started at 9 back then,
right,
you well know,
right.
My dad always allowed me the opportunity to watch the first half of the game and then see Cosell's halftime highlights, because you couldn't miss it. And then I had to get my butt to bed. But a lot of orange and brown next week for Halloween, as the Bengals and the Browns are the Halloween game.
Yeah, and how special was it, Sean? I mean, I think any football fan in junior high back then, middle school and high school, what we wanted more than anything when we watched Howard Cosell's halftime highlights was him to show our team.
Oh.
Because if we didn't get on, we talked about it at the next day at school. If we got on, we were proud. Hey, they showed the Lions. They showed the Steelers. You know, I mean, it was amazing what a different world it was back then, because the game, the highlights are 36 hours old, okay, or whatever, 30 hours old. And it was must-see TV. Any football fan couldn't wait for the highlights. And, of course, Howard has had his most unique way of delivering them. And it allows you to puff your chest out a little further the next day in school. And it sort of signaled that, hey, my team is special. My team, you know, the whole country saw those highlights, you know, which was such a neat thing back then.
I will always have a special place for Billy Sims in my heart. I told it to his face, Bill, because for the first time we got national notoriety out of the Lion. You know, and the first time in my early, you know, fandom career, it was like the first time people elsewhere were talking about a Lion, and it made me so stinking happy. All right, Bill, I certainly want to hear more about your afternoon as well. I know it's been a busy one for you and what that experience was like for you. Lots to do. It's Gridiron Wrap on a Sunday night here on 760 WJR. Well, welcome back in Gridiron Wrap on a Sunday night. Of course, the MHSAA announced their playoff pairings. Bill, this had to be a busy, busy afternoon for you. And I know Danielle needs to unmute, but this is a situation, Bill, where you had a game in the NFL today. I didn't even ask you what game you had.
I didn't have a game today.
Oh, you did not?
I roamed this weekend.
Oh, no kidding.
So I did a couple four 425 games, but then I actually left early so I could get up to Holly because, you know what, and God bless, you know, my friends at the NFL because that would have been hard to miss that
no
moment.
Doubt.
That
no
really
doubt.
Would have been. Yeah.
Yeah, for the benefit of people just joining us, Bill's got a smile a mile wide because the Holly Broncos got into the MHSAA playoffs. They will have a rematch with a very tough Fenton team. And, of course, the head coach of the Holly Broncos is a young man by the name of Coach Keenest. And what a – Bill, what was that like for you today? I mean, not only, you know, you've got a vested interest, a rooting interest now, but to be there with your son, I mean, how do you even put a price tag on that?
I don't know that you can, Sean, and you just have flashbacks to when they were young and playing. And I remember when he was a freshman and got a call up to varsity for the playoffs for Oxford, and I think I flew home that night because it was incredible, you know, and to be a freshman in a storied program like Bud Riley had at Oxford and to get called up for the playoffs was just wonderful. And I'll tell you, they played Lapeer East in the playoff that year, and it was Jake Long was the big stud for Lapeer East in football and basketball. But today it was just, knowing how much he absolutely loves those kids and the coaches and the community, even though he's been there less than a year as a coach, he's been there a couple years as a teacher. But what he wants more than anything is to give the kids an opportunity to succeed on and off the field. And when you accomplish something that is very rare at Holly High School, the football program. The joy I think he had was equal or perhaps surpassed my joy because he has all those kids that he's responsible for, the coaches, the school, and they can all celebrate together on this. And I drove to Holly. I think I flew home. So that's how I'll sum it up for you, my friend.
Oh, that's great. Hey, you know, paint the picture for me, Bill. You know, I think a lot of us are used to watching, you know, March Madness and the selection show, and you see, you know, the group of basketball players awaiting their fate, waiting to see what region they're going to be in, et cetera, et cetera. This is something that we don't see very often in the world of football. But I think it, again, I think this is a pretty cool thing that the MHSAA does. Was it like that, Bill? Was it a scenario where you guys were kind of sitting in the auditorium all watching on the big screen with food around you and everything?
Yes, there were about 20 boxes of Little Caesars pizza, empty boxes when I walked in, and all the players were at tables, and it was in a room that had a huge screen. So Billy hooked it up to the Bally Sports broadcast. And they actually had a couple other live shots from high schools, teams that knew they were in, and they showed their reaction. And I'll just say this, maybe because of the history leading up to what happened to Holly tonight, but compared to the reaction of the two or three schools they showed prior to what I saw in that room, it was night and day. These kids just erupted. And I think just the fact that you see your name on the playoff, you know, selection show, and it just it's something I'll never forget. And they erupted. And then my son got up and talked to the team and laid out the week and just basically said, what could be better than this? What could be any better?
Oh, is that great?
You know, and talked about the hard work that went into it. And you know, when you work hard, more often than not, good things happen. And this is a prime example of that.
Oh, is that great? Friday, 7 o'clock, correct?
I believe so.
You know, Bill, you brought that up. I remember going back to 2011 when Wayne State made that crazy run to the Division II championship game. And we lost our last game the day before the announcement and lost to Finley by a point, went 8-3. Literally everybody thought we weren't going to make the playoffs. Literally everybody. Yeah. And you might remember that was the year the Lions got off to the great start, and they were getting it handed to them that afternoon in Chicago. And I got sick and tired of watching it. So I was like, well, I'm miserable. I may as well turn on this selection show just to get even more miserable. Yeah. And I'll never forget, they were literally the last team mentioned. And and they said, and Wayne State gets in. And I thought, when I heard Wayne State, I thought it was Wayne State, Nebraska, Bill. I thought it was Wayne State, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then we saw one of our prominent players who later went to the NFL with the Chicago Bears running on the screen. And wait a second. We're going to the playoffs? What? we have to jump on a plane in 5 days and go fly to Minnesota Duluth, or excuse me, to St. Cloud, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
No, you
the
don't.
The team that nobody thought was going to get in. Nobody thought was going to get in.
I didn't realize that, Sean.
Yeah, we went and won 4 straight games all on the road and played for a championship in Division.
Isn't that amazing? Think about phenomenal. That. I mean, when the impossible truly is possible, and it was for you guys, and there's not anyone associated with that program that will ever forget any of that journey. I mean, because the truth is, how many college athletes play for a national championship?
Yep.
How many broadcasters broadcast a national championship? I mean, think about it. I mean, that's the pinnacle of the profession. And that's, you know, and it's the same on the high school level, you know, even middle school, junior high, high school, college, D1, D2, D3. It's just the best. It's the ultimate unifier and the ultimate memory maker.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I hope these kids can keep their season going. It was interesting. I missed our annual trip to Frankenmuth because I was on the road. I missed a trip, Bill. I kid you not, going to the Heisman ceremony. I had only been a Heisman Trophy voter for a couple years at the time, and we were going to go make a trip out of it and go down to, at the time, the Downtown Athletic Club. But I was like, I got a game to call, and it didn't matter. Yeah. It was just, let's keep this going as long as we can. And certainly that's the feeling for not just the Holly Broncos, but so many teams around the state of Michigan. It's such a wonderful, wonderful time. And for these kids to get that experience today,
can't put a price tag on it.
No, you can't. And it goes back to, we talked about it in previous weeks, previous shows, to put that uniform on one more time is special. And, you know, over the years with the Lions, I used to have the greatest talks with Charlie Sanders about his journey from the game. And, you know, what players miss most of all, I've always believed this. I've seen it. I've lived it tangentially, quite frankly. But, yeah, they miss the games. But what they miss most of all is the locker room.
Sure.
When they're in there with their teammates, that's their home. It really is their home. And those are their brothers and family. And they miss being in there after a great win, after a gut-wrenching loss, because all you have is each other. And I just visualize Friday night, that bus ride, with those players, those kids from Holly, bussing to Fenton, and what's going to be going through their mind. Mm. I mean, it's so special. So and, cool. You know, it's why we love it. And every kid in the States that's in the playoffs is going to experience that.
Pretty stinking cool.
Absolutely.
Pretty cool. We'll wrap it up on a Sunday night gridiron wrap. So glad you could join us here on 760 WJR. Well, it's been such a busy, busy day, Bill, and certainly a day that you'll never forget. Mm-hmm. But we've been talking about so much here on this edition of Gridiron Wrap, and it's always fun. We've been talking so much that we haven't even had a chance to talk about the Lions yet. Yeah. And I don't know how much you saw of the game today. Bill, unfortunately, as a lifelong viewer and fan of the Detroit Lions, I got to be honest with you, this was one of those games where very early on, unfortunately, I knew how this one was going to end. The offense just couldn't get on track, and it was tough because the defense was playing so well in this game. And, you know, unfortunately, some mistakes in the fourth quarter, and they just compounded a couple of fumbles, a couple of interceptions. And, the game was a lot closer than the score indicated, but just the same, the Cowboys improved to 5-2 on the season, knocking off the Lions 24-6 today.
Yeah, I did get to see a few snippets of the game, and I thought the Lions had a shot. And what I saw was second half. I really did. I saw a third down stop on a play that the Cowboys seemed to have run forever, where it's third and short. You know, they fake a handoff and pitch it off to a back running wide. Ezekiel and Elliott, I believe, or could have been Pollard, but Angeloni comes bursting through there and stops him. Yep. And I thought, wow, that's a great defensive play. That could provide a spark, but it didn't. And there have been so many games down in Dallas like that over the years. And it's just, it's got to be, you don't want to get to the point where it's expected, but I think until it's different, it's expected.
Yeah.
And that stinks. And could they have won the game today? Yeah, absolutely. But Dan Campbell will tell you, because his first coach is synonymous with, you are what your record says you are. Mm-hmm. And when you try to justify, well, we're a little closer and we don't have these guys playing because they're hurt and blah, 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 blah. Injuries in the NFL are a reality. It's not if, it's when. And what I think hurts us locally is when you look at the Giants, holy moly, you look at the Jets. Oh my God. Goodness, you look at the Vikings, and then in a different way you look at the Packers and think, oh my gosh, this could have been, and maybe it still will be, a lot of football left, this could have been the year. So it's hard, it's tough. I don't think anybody thought the team would be 1-5 in the second term with Dan Campbell, but that's what it is. And you got to focus on the next one. And Miami's playing tonight. I guess we'll get a preview of how Tua's doing. Those receivers they have should scare the crap out of any secondary.
So it's going to be a challenge next week. No question.
Bill, you bring up such a fantastic point. I was talking to our own Eric Dortch about this, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. So I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but when the schedule is announced, yeah. It's become, you know, a fabulous night for all. There's no doubt about it. The NFL's done such a great job mm-hmm. of marketing this game and really becoming a around the year mm-hmm. type of phenomenon that you have so many people like me that can't wait till the schedule is announced. But mm-hmm. we always make the mistake of playing the schedule game mm-hmm. and trying to base what's going to happen next season on what happened mm-hmm. the previous season.
Yeah.
You brought up two perfect examples. I think everybody and their brother thought that November 6th game mm-hmm. against Green Bay at home, that's probably going to be a loss. Based on what I've seen out of Green Bay, that is an incredibly winnable game.
No question.
And then the flip side to that is I think everybody and their brother thought going to New York, we'll beat the Giants there.
Yeah.
Now you feel the direct opposite. I mean, such is the National Football League today.
It really is. And we've talked about when the schedule comes out. And what I was able to eventually do when it came out was look at when is the bye week? What are our long trips? When do they occur? Do they occur after a road game? Do they occur after a Monday night game, after a Sunday night game? So you look for the objective realities of the schedule because, and this year may be one for the ages, because the teams that are together in April or May when the schedule comes out haven't played a game yet, and they are nothing like they will be. And the Jets, the Giants, Sean, the surprise team of all may be the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were given up for dead.
Yep.
And Pete Carroll is, I'll tell you what, he better get Hall of Fame consideration, because if you look at his career collegiately and professionally, he's been remarkable. And they trade Russell Wilson, and they're going to, I mean, they were an afterthought. And look at them. What are they, 5-3 now, I think?
Yep. 4-3.
Four and three. I mean, fantastic. So it's the beauty of the NFL. It's the beauty of football, and it's the reality of sports. There's a reason why you play the games. You just don't know until you do. And we're going to see a lot of that Friday night.
Yeah, I no doubt. Hey, listen, Pete Carroll's 71 years old.
It's amazing.
He looks like a guy who's 31 again. He's having fun. He's engaged. You're right. That's a great story. People can say what they want about Pete Carroll, but boy, the job he's doing so far this year with a quarterback, let's face it, Geno Smith was left for dead years ago. Just a couple of years ago. I mean, you're talking five, six, 7 years ago. Yeah. So great story there. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
It'll continue. So Bill, that's why we play.
No doubt. And there's a big one next Saturday too, Shawnee B. That will be fun. I think the whole state will be riveted on that one.
Yeah. So. It's, you know, what's interesting about this, Bill, is, you know, it's a rivalry game and you know, there have been times in my life where you didn't see Michigan State winning where they won.
Yeah.
I think this Michigan team has got it going on right now, especially both sides of the line. Right. They are just, I'm worried from a Spartan perspective that they're going to impose their will on Michigan State.
Yeah. As I agree with that, but you never know.
No.
And the one thing as an outsider, you know, coming from Pennsylvania and Washington and wherever to Michigan, the one thing I've grown to believe is there's no team that Michigan State would rather lose to, or that Michigan would not want to lose to more than Michigan State. Ohio State's a different thing. There's no team that Michigan wants to beat more than Ohio State, but they don't want to lose to Michigan State. I mean, it's just different. And Michigan State wants to beat both of them.
Yeah, no doubt.
Who knows? Gotta wait till Saturday to find out.
Looking forward to it. We'll keep our eye on that Holly Fenton game.
Yes,
good luck to the Broncos and all the teams out there. Danielle, thank you. Bill Keenis, thank you. Until next week, Sean Beligian saying have a great night.